The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What to do when you're looking for good news and there doesn't seem to be much of it? This parable in Matthew 25 has puzzled preachers perennially. I mean, think about it. You have 3 basic sets of characters here. You've got the so-called foolish bridesmaids who didn't completely fill up their tanks with oil. And so they're running around in the dark looking for fuel for their lamps. You've got the so-called wise bridesmaids who are essentially hoarding oil, so some have more than enough and others have none. And then you have a rude bridegroom that slams the door on invited guests just because he was late. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Because we are conditioned, I know I have been, conditioned that this is a text of judgment. And certainly, one day we believe we will all meet Jesus face to face. But I think there's more to it than the fact that there are insiders and outsiders. A Lutheran pastor was also wrestling with this, and even in looking at some of the individual lines of this text, for instance, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And he counters with scripture. He says, "But Jesus said, 'If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools, so you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.'" Or where Matthew 25 here says, "Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.'" But scripture also says, "A smoldering wick he will not snuff out." And the wise bridesmaids said no, because there may not be enough for both of us and you. But scripture also says, "Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants from you." Do you see? There are counters to what this parable lays out as logical throughout scripture. And so I want to take a little bit different direction this morning. I want to think about those thirsty wicks. Thirst is a common element in Scripture. And the Psalms in particular have numerous Psalms that talk about soul thirsting. And I want to go that direction this morning just a little bit. The psalmist says, "My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a barren and dry land where there is no water. Give us some oil," pleaded the foolish bridesmaids of our gospel parables. You could say their wicks were thirsty and unquenchable in the waiting time. And we are in a waiting time. We know that Christ reigns. We know that at the crucifixion, Jesus came into his kingdom. But we also know there's a not yet of the kingdom that we haven't seen yet, we haven't envisioned. And I think in our in-between time, we can say, we thirst. Thirsty souls and empty lamps both speak of a deep, deep yearning. Both speak of an emptiness so vast as to nearly drive one to despair. Both speak to the universal need of men, women, and children to fill the emptiness. Emptiness. It's something each person has experienced in some way, shape, or form. From the youngest to the oldest, the most basic kind of emptiness is that of the stomach that has not seen food for a while. This is an emptiness that infants learn to express before they even have words. "Why is the baby crying?" people ask each other. And every parent knows there's one of three reasons. I won't go into the others. And even the first words we learn to say. And I wrote these down for our kids. By about 15 months, they learned to say, "I'm hungry." And I remember one of my own childhood rituals. I used to live 13 miles out of town away from school. And so I'd be on the school bus for about an hour after school. And the first thing that I would do after getting off the school bus was run into the house and announce to my mother, "I'm hungry." I wasn't afraid to say it because it's a basic need for growing kids. And I knew, just as we know with God, I knew my mother would do her best to fill it. We know how to talk about that kind of emptiness, even though for most of us a truly empty stomach is not something that often gets experienced. We can say, "I want this emptiness to be filled." And that's socially acceptable. But other kinds of emptiness are not often expressed as well. Few people learn at an early age, if any age, to talk about emptiness that seeks out companionship or compassion or comfort or concern. We don't learn to ask it of others. We suffer silently most of the time. Sometimes we don't trust to ask it of them. More sadly, sometimes we don't learn to ask it or trust it of God. Many are filled with food, but many more still seek something more filling. There is for each person an emptiness that seeks to be filled. If you think for a moment, think honestly, you probably know where yours is. You know the cavern of which I speak. It's the emptiness that each person tries to fill in their own unique way. Some people fill it with activities and family and friends. Some people fill it with work. Some people fill it with entertainment, with television, music, movies. Some fill it with sports and exercise. Participating is better than watching as a filler. Some fill it with self-help resources. Some fill it with controlled substances. Some fill it by shopping, by acquiring possessions. Most of us fill it by a combination of all of the above and a few others I haven't even named. And any of these things can be good, can be right in their own way, but in the end, when they're used to fill up the emptiness that we don't want to acknowledge, that we don't want to describe, then it doesn't last very long, and the emptiness is empty once again. And we all make discoveries in our own ways, don't we? About the nature of these temporal fillers. Sometimes we act on the knowledge, sometimes we don't. I know one time I asked some remarkably honest young people how many of them had ever felt disappointed on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, even after receiving their most wished for Christmas present or presents. Do you know they all said yes? Some might say it's greed that causes that letdown feeling, but I don't think that's really the problem. Rather, I think they and we are conditioned and reconditioned to believe every time we see a newspaper or billboard or internet advertisement, we see something that says our lives will not be complete and the emptiness will not be filled unless ... unless we own a particular product, subscribe to a particular service, or frequent a particular business. And these products and services and businesses, again, they may all be good. But in the end, even they cannot fill the emptiness, not permanently. Not things, not even people will ever fill those holes. Thirsty souls and empty lamps. That's what we're wandering around in the dark with. It's a false sense of security. Kind of like when I was in high school, my parents got a new pickup truck. Now, we had a big farm, it was 1,200 acres, and we had a pasture that ended about two and a half miles away from our farmhouse. And, you know, we'd drive around and, you know, check the cattle on the far end of the pasture every once in a while. And my dad thought he was being really smart one year. He got a four-wheel drive pickup truck that had two gas tanks with a switch between the two. Anybody have one of these? Ever had one of these? It was the most amazing thing in 1980 that you could have two gas tanks on your pickup truck. So that if you started running low, you could just switch gas tanks. Everything's fine. Unless you're at the far end of the pasture, 2.5 miles away from the house, and the tanks have already been switched. Running out of gas at the far end of the pasture because of a false sense of security. So where is our security? What's the fuel that lights our fires, who keeps our energy going, that fills the emptiness? You know the words, two words. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Each one of us, in some way, is not prepared Each one of us in some way, like the wise brides, has an overabundance that we're not going to share. But what fills the hole, what fills the gap, what fills our inmost need and longing is Jesus, the one who ultimately quenches our thirst and fills the hunger. Only Jesus can fill our lamps as we await the great and promised feast to come. And only by being filled with the fullness of Jesus can we reach out to fill the empty lamps and thirsty souls of all those others we meet along our journeys. The story is the story of the mission of the church since the beginning of Jesus' ministry. When Jesus sent his disciples out to minister to others, he filled them with the power and authority of his name. When Jesus shared his last meal with his disciples, he filled them with his holy body and life-giving blood. When Jesus was to ascend to heaven and leave his earthly ministry to mere mortals like us, he filled them with his Holy Spirit. And today he invites us to hold out our empty cups and let our thirsty souls be quenched. Today he invites us to let our lamps be filled with his grace and his Spirit so that we may walk in the light of Christ. Thirsty souls and empty lamps. Empty souls in need of filling and refreshing, all can be filled through the grace of the one who loves us and calls us his own and does not shut the door to us. Only Jesus. Amen.